Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Old Testament book of Joshua and reading from chapter 20, commencing at the opening verse. Joshua chapter 20, reading from verse 1. Corresponding portion concerning this story is found in Numbers chapter 35, but we're reading from Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person to unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless this precious portion of his word to all of our hearts. Bow briefly in a word of prayer as we come to God's word. And Father, we thank thee that the whosoever will may come. All those who feel their need of salvation. Those that realize, Lord, that they're sinners before a thrice holy God. Those that come in repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, for that wonderful word that Jesus spoke, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Be they ever so bad, be they ever so good, if they're not saved, Lord, they're welcome to Christ. And we just pray tonight that thy Spirit will bring conviction of sin in the gathering. And grant, Lord, there'll be old-fashioned conversions tonight. Men and women leaving the paths of sin and starting on their way to heaven and home via the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that Thou would impress upon the hearts of each one the great absolute necessity of salvation. We pray that You'll help us tonight. Lord, we're just a vessel. Lord, may we be an empty vessel, clean and filled for the Master's use, and may the Lord give to each one the hearing ear and the understanding heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you probably have gathered tonight, my subject is the cities of refuge. And you'll find that story also in Numbers chapter 35. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, we read of two disciples on the Emmaus Road. They were making their way back to their own village from Jerusalem. They were very despondent. And they were downcast and they were sad. And it tells us that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It's not always like the Savior, isn't it? The time we need him the most, he's always there. But their eyes were holden that they did not recognize him. And he asked them for the reason of their sadness and their sorrow. And they said, "Are you just a stranger here?" And I'm only paraphrasing. "Have you not heard that the one we thought would have redeemed Israel at this time, they've taken and crucified him, and he's dead?" And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Some people try to tell us that the Old Testament is not really relevant. We've got the New. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from the Old Testament, and in all the scriptures, he spoke of the things concerning himself. He would certainly speak of Abel's sacrifice and Cain's, and why Cain's was rejected. He'd also perhaps go into Exodus chapter 12, and there he would relate the story of the Passover lamb, how the lamb was killed and the blood caught in a basin and applied to the doorposts and lamps of the homes of the Israelites. And when the angel passed over, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." He would speak of the red heifer and all these wonderful types and pictures of the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure, I can't be dogmatic in this, but I would suggest that he would refer to the six cities of refuge. For in them we have a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ as the refuge for sinners. The one we can turn to and find refuge from the wrath which is to come. Oh, people don't believe that much nowadays about the wrath of God have come. Of course, they didn't believe it in Noah's day either. And we know what happened there. And there were about 8 people that were saved. But the wrath of God is to come. But there's a refuge from his wrath. The number of these cities is significant. There were 6, the number of man. And the sure refuge for sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation is not optional. We must be saved. We must be born again if we're ever going to see heaven. And I want to look at these 6 cities of refuge as a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus and the refuge that we have in him. First of all, the provider of these cities of refuge. And it says in the opening verse of the chapter, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." Now, these verses remind us that God was the provider, that God was the author of these refuges. It wasn't something that Moses or Joshua had thought up. It came from God, and they were given graciously and mercifully to those that would make use of them. Salvation is likewise of the Lord. Jonah discovered that salvation was of the Lord. And there's many in the meeting tonight have discovered that salvation is of the Lord. Oh, they tried many things. And they thought that by perhaps church attendance, by partaking of the sacraments, would be sufficient. But then they learned that salvation is of the Lord and through faith in him. Salvation is no afterthought with God. When man had sinned in the Garden of Eden, but was planned in eternity. Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. "According as He has chosen us in Him. That God the Father has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13 and 8, he speaks of Christ as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, this provision of God was necessary. And the story is that perhaps two men are hewing wood, and the axe head of one comes off and inadvertently hits the other man, that he dies. Now, the manslayer, it could flee to one of these cities of refuge that were appointed of God. If he didn't make the city, if he neglected to run to the cities, then the avenger of blood was at liberty to take revenge on him. So you and I would say, well, it'd be very silly of a man, very foolish, if having been in that situation, that he didn't avail himself of one of these cities of refuge where he would be safe. And you know, it's just like men and women, young people today, is it not foolish for them that there's a way back from the deep paths of sin, that there's a refuge from the wrath to come, that there's a Savior from all sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they neglect so great the salvation. Remember the word of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. No mights or maybes about it. The soul that sinneth. Now that takes us all in. Because Paul says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. Even the people of God can sin. And so that covers us all. And sometimes, you know, society will put men and women into different camps. The haves and the haves not, the rich and the poor, the high and the low. God just sees humanity in one of two camps. There's either those that are saved or those that are lost. And those that are lost, if they die in that condition, will go to a lost eternity, into the place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now, we all know that one day, if the Lord tarry, we're going to die. I don't think there's anybody going to argue with that. But death in the Scripture means much more than physical death. If we die in our sins, if we neglect this great refuge that God has provided at the place called Calvary in the Lord Jesus, then we're going to be separated from God for all eternity. That's what it means to die in our sin. To be separated from the love of God, from the goodness of God, from the mercy of God, from the grace of God for all eternity. And yet, God in His grace and His mercy has provided a refuge whereby we can hide from the wrath to come. In 2 Samuel 22 and verses 23, David's song concerning the Lord was, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. What a description from the lips of the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's my rock. He's my refuge. He's my salvation. He's my high tower. What a Savior that you and I have tonight. Now, what do we need to be saved from? Well, the manslayer had to be saved from the avenger of blood. You and I need to be saved from the curse of a broken law. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to flee from the justice of God. God is God. And God will not be God if He doesn't judge sin. And so God must judge sin. Now there's those in the meeting tonight who will not be judged for their sin because their sin has been reckoned to be laid upon Christ. They've trusted in Him as their personal Savior, and God reckons that a judgment on His Son as done on their behalf. He died as a substitute in the place of others. And then there's those perhaps in the meeting tonight, and you haven't come to Christ. You have no refuge. And if you die in that state, then the wrath of God is going to fall upon you. We need to a refuge from the consequences of our sin. I was talking to a brother just in the past week or so, and we were talking about the eternal punishment. And you know, that can trip off our lips as something light. Eternal punishment. Eternal hell. Not just for 1,000 years, but for all eternity, with no escape route, with no release date ever set, forever. And my friend tonight, if you're not saved, if you haven't come to Christ as your refuge, that's a distinct possibility. That's a distinct possibility. There's no end to it. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? They both died. And Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. In other words, he went to be with Christ. And the rich man died, and in hell, he opened up his eyes in torments. Now, the thing about that there is, this man had his memory. This man had feelings. And something else, this man believed. He now believed what he neglected to believe in his lifetime. He knew the way of salvation now. And tonight there's thousands of millions, and we say this in solemnity tonight, that are in a lost eternity. And they've got their memory. And they've got their feelings tonight. And they know the truth of the gospel. But it's too late. It's too late. I certainly believe in literal punishment, literal hell. But you know, one of the things that torment men and women, even in this scene of time, is a memory that torments them. Something in the past they've done. And it gives them no rest or peace. And it's tormenting them. They go to bed at night with this thought in their mind. And they waken in the first light of day, being tormented about this thought. And this man remembered. And I feel that there'll be people in hell, and they'll remember. They'll remember that gospel meeting, perhaps in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, or some other mission, or a Sunday night meeting. They'll remember that brother that was so faithful to them at the place of employment and would speak to them earnestly about the Lord Jesus. That sister that would give a gospel tract telling them of the way of salvation. And they rejected every invitation. And I believe that will torment them for all eternity. Almost persuaded, but lost. Almost persuaded. And thank God He has provided a refuge in Christ out of a heart of love and compassion for sinners. We don't offer refuge from someone that's a tyrant. Someone that wants to ruin people's lives. For Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I came not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. For we have to be saved. In Romans 5 and 8, God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I can think back in unsaved days and the things that we got up to. And I just have to marvel tonight at the grace of Almighty God. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, there's mercy with the Lord. There's mercy with the Lord. John 3 and 16. I'm sure there's not a person in the meeting tonight perhaps that doesn't know that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. What a world of meaning in that little word, so. He so loved the world. How did He so love the world? That He gave. Because God, love gives. And when God gave His Son, He could give no more. And He gave no less. He gave Him to the smiters. He gave Him to those that spat upon Him. To those that plucked the hairs from His face. To those that plaited a crown of thorns. And laid it upon His lovely brow. And hammered those thorns into His brow. And then nailed Him to a tree. And He gave Him. And He put Him through that. And then most of all, the agony of being our sin bearer. Bearing on His own body the sins of the world. The punishment that we should have endured. God so loved. You know, people are very flippant today. Some event happens and they turn around and say, oh, where's your God now? Where's the love of God now? I take you to Calvary. I take you to that center tree. And I ask you to gaze upon God's lovely Son, who has been despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And there, He's suffering the wrath of God in your room and in your stead. You see, things can happen to us in life, and this life is very brief and it'll be gone. But what God has done, God has provided a refuge not only for time, but for all eternity. Because we're all going to live on after the grave. And after earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust has been said about us, our remains, we're going to live on. And it's either heaven or hell. And God has provided a refuge for eternity. You'll notice the scope of the refuge. In verse 9 of Joshua chapter 20, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee to. Oh, what scope there is in the gospel. In Isaiah 45 and verse 22, is it? God says, look unto Me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye safe, for I am God, and there's none else. All ye ends of the earth. Though millions have come, yet there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you tonight. The gospel is for the whosoever will. Jesus commissioned His disciples, and He has commissioned us that are saved to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Lovely portion in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And it says that those that are in heaven are a great multitude that no man can number. And they're from all nations, and from all tribes, and from all kindreds. And I would say tonight, from all colors, and all cultures, and all countries. They're there. And there's something special about them. They've made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They're saved. Because nothing that defileth shall enter into heaven. They're saved. A multitude that no man may number. And friend, you can be among that multitude if you come as a sinner to Christ tonight. Jesus said in that verse 37 of John 6, all that the Father giveth to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh to Me. Remember when the ark was completed? And the door was still open. And God said to Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. Come into the place of safety from the wrath that was to come. And they went in. It wasn't go. Because if that had been so, he'd have been driving them from the ark. But he says, come. The Lord's not driving you from Christ tonight. He said, come. Just as you are in all your sin. There's room for you tonight. We'll note the strategic placing of these cities of refuge. In verses 7 to 8, it says, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, Shechem in Mount Ephraim, Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Strategically placed. Three on the west side of Jordan, and three on the east side of Jordan. And that covered the 12 tribes, because as you read this chapter, and you remember that when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, and they were coming to the promised land, there was 2.5 tribes, and they said, look, this land here is good for cattle, it's good for bringing up our families, we will just stay here. And they were told, in no uncertain terms, yes, you can. But the menfolk will go over with the other tribes over Jordan, and you will fight with them until the land is possessed, and then you come back to your families. But provision was made in those cities, three each side of Jordan. They were placed, therefore, in convenient places. We're told that none of these cities would have been more than half a day's journey from any part of Israel. So that when someone killed someone unawares, they were near at hand to one of these cities of refuge. Also, they were set on hills or mountains, and they could be seen from afar off, easily identified. The way would have been made plain. Isn't it a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus? He's here tonight. He's not very far away. And we know he's here tonight because he said, where the two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he's here tonight, friend, and he would save your soul if you just call upon him. He's at hand. He's been identified as the only refuge from sin. There's none other one can save you. And the way has been made plain in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the names of these cities bear witness themselves to your Lord Jesus Christ, and we just want to go through them very briefly, for time is going. Kadesh, it means holy. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel. He is the spotless Lamb of God who knew no sin and did no sin, but was made sin for us. He was our sin bearer, that through faith in him, we might be accepted of God. He's holy. He's holy tonight. And yet, he'd welcome you to come to him for salvation. Shechem means shoulder. And surely it's the place of strength. And someone has probably said to you sometime or other, as you were doing a bit of work around the house or the farm or whatever, would you put your shoulder to the wheel? In other words, give it your strength. Shoulder speaks of the place of strength. Remember that lovely story in Luke 15 about the lost sheep and the good shepherd. He left the 99 that were safely in the fold, and he sought the one that was lost. And the Bible tells me that he sought it until he found it. And then when he found it, he placed it upon his shoulder, and he brought it home rejoicing. Was that sheep not happy? I know the Savior was happy. The night I came to Christ, the night you came to Christ, there was rejoicing in heaven. Place of strength. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. We can't save ourselves. Can't do that. But we come to the one who can save, and he saves to the uttermost. Hebron means fellowship. And how can a sinner have fellowship with a holy God? Not through any efforts of our own, not through any righteousness I may do, but by trusting only in the righteousness of Christ that is received by faith and imputed to us, made over to our account when we come to Christ. That's the righteousness you need tonight. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight, but there's the righteousness of Christ. I love the way it puts it in the prodigal son. They took off the old filthy garments and they put on him the best robe. The best robe. Christ's righteousness is spotless. Spotless. And then Bezer, stronghold. And the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run within to it and are safe. It's not a wonderful word for God's people in these days. There's many problems and difficulties and trials. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into him and are safe. Ramoth means exalted. And the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross of Calvary as our sin bearer, high and lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. And then remember how the wrath of God was poured upon him in the hours of darkness. And then he made that triumphant cry, finished. The price was paid in full. Isn't it folly to try and go around and doing things to find acceptance with God when the work has been done? Christ finished it on the cross of Calvary. And then he ascended into heaven and he's highly exalted above all principalities and powers. He's been given a name that is above every name. He's there as our advocate with the Father. He's there as our intercessor. He's there as our great high priest. Now you read this story and this slayer of blood, when he went into the city, he was there until the death of the high priest that was then in place. And that's where the type finishes. Because thank God we've got a great high priest who ever liveth. And because he lives, all who are trusting in him shall live also. He continually maketh intercession for the saints. Brother, you think you're not going to make it? Do you think somehow along the line that you're going to miss out? Not a bit of it. Christ is making intercession for us. Making intercession for us. Then Golan. Golan means joy. Oh, the joy of God's salvation. You know, it's the devil's lie to tell people, oh, you get saved. And you can say goodbye forever to happiness and fun and all the rest of it. That's a life in the pit. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly. And men and women and young people are in bondage tonight to those things that they call pleasures. They're in bondage to them. They're crutches. They can't get through life without them. But Jesus came to set us free. Free from sin. From the punishment of sin, from the guilt of sin, and praise God one day from the very presence of sin itself. In Christ we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. These were wonderful refuges, weren't they? And what a refuge we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the best every way, the child of God. We get into Philippians 4:19 and it tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise that is in these days for material things and financial things and the credit crunch. There's no credit crunch with the Lord. You know, when Israel went down into Egypt and Joseph was there looking after the storehouses, they wouldn't exhaust it. There was plenty there. You and I can never exhaust the storehouse of God. He's promised to meet our need. He's promised to meet our every need, whatever that need might be. And then the best is yet to be. We're going to glory. And it tells me in the Bible that heaven is a place where there's no more sin, that there's no more sorrow, that there's no more tears, that there's no more arthritis. The undertaker is redundant and it's bliss forevermore. That's heaven. It's not something to look forward to. It does not encourage us in the Lord. Not come tonight. You really don't know what you're missing. Because I'm making a very poor gift of it tonight. Really trying to explain what we have in Christ. As someone once said, it's better felt than telt. And I just want to close with this story because it is in connection with the cities of refuge. There was a general in David's army. You called him Abner. You read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 3. In chapter 2, Abner had killed Joab's brother Asahel. Joab was another general in David's army. His younger brother Asahel sought a row with Abner. He was spoiling for a fight, and Abner didn't really want to fight with him. But the young lad persisted. And Abner got his spear, and with the hinder hand, he drove it through him. And the young lad died. Now, as the manslayer, he was perfectly entitled to flee to one of these cities of refuge. Joab, being next of kin, he was entitled to be the avenger of blood. Now, we're told that Abner got to the city of Hebron, one of the cities of refuge. He was at the gate. He knew that Joab was pursuing him. And just before he stepped into the city of refuge, Joab called him over. Abner, we word with you. All smiles, you know. Putting his hand round the shoulder. How are you? And with the left hand, he'd done him to death with his dagger. Right at the gate of Hebron. At his funeral service, David said these words. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. In other words, Abner, you were at the gate of one of the cities of refuge. All you had to do was enter in. But you neglected and you tarried and you were deceived. You were deceived by your adversary. There's many people being deceived by the devil tonight. Young person, I was talking to a young person just in the past week. And I asked him, was he a Christian? Was he saved? He said, no. He said, I'm a wee bit young for that. Well, I said, you know, in this area where I was speaking, there's been many young people killed in car accidents. They weren't too young to die. All he had to do was step in. That's all Abner had to do. And we could perhaps put it like this. At the gate of heaven. And he went to hell. I hope I'm not speaking to someone that will happen to. But you'll come tonight. See your need of Christ. See the problem in your life is sin. And there's only one that can deal with your sin. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his blood that you and I might have our sins dealt with, washed in the blood of the Lamb. He died to make us good. He died one day to take us to heaven to be with himself. Will you not avail tonight of this great refuge? Just where you're sitting tonight, would you not just accept him? Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, the sinner. Will you not confess your sin and repent of it? It'll be good riddance to bad rubbish. You'll never miss it. And the Lord will give you life, eternal life. And Jesus alone is the giver, a refuge. It's near to you tonight. He's clearly identified in the gospel. All you have to do is come, just as you are. May you come and trust in him as your Saviour.